Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the nest here on this Total Request Thursday. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, Ravens, no practice today, right? They're back next week.
Correct. They're probably all these big college games we're talking about, Bob. We may see some of them on the sidelines at some of those.
Yeah, so we got a little day off for the Ravens and the NFL. The season starts next Thursday with Dallas going to Philly, but the Ravens are in Buffalo September 7th, Sunday night. We'll get into all of that in due time. But Eric DaCosta, among others, and Kyle Hamilton met with the media yesterday. And for Kyle Hamilton, he became the highest paid safety in what, the history of the NFL. And here's Kyle Hamilton talking about that distinction.
The dream come true. And just first, I just want to thank a lot of people. I want to thank God first and foremost, and situations and things that happened in my life that's gotten me to this position. And think back to draft night, and some people said some things about where I was drafted, this and that, and where I could be drafted. At the time, I think I was the least mad at anybody. I knew that I came to the right place. I think that's how God just works sometimes. You know, you got to see the bigger picture and has bigger plans for us. So thank you to the man above, and also to my family, my parents, my brother, fiance, all my friends, everybody just had a part in this. And this is it takes a village, and I truly mean that. And
I think the biggest thing he said there was, you know, because he was projecting going top five and he ran a slow time when he was at Notre Dame, you know, so that's why supposedly he dropped. But, Bob, it was the same thing I told Charlie when you get, it's not where you get drafted, you know, it's by who, because you want to go to a situation that is a good situation for you. Coming to the Ravens, you know, could there have been a better situation for Kyle Hamilton? The way they play defense and, you know, how they were planning on using him and taking advantage of his skills. He was lucky that he dropped to 14. And in reality, you know, if he'd have went 5 to a crap team or whatever, who knows if he was going to be today would have been the highest paid safety at another team.
All I remember about that, the day after the draft, and all three of us are guilty of this, by the way, yourself included. They need a pass rusher. They just signed Marcus Williams as a safety. This was a luxury pick. And he's become the highest paid safety in the history of the NFL. Hell yeah. He's been a tremendous player since the second half of his rookie year in 2022. So sometimes that IR, that instant reaction, isn't always the best to have.
No. And the thing about it was, you know, they had gotten Marcus Williams, who played great. And then Kyle Hamilton, when he came in, it was like,
Had to Sean Elliott. He got all these dudes, man.
Yeah. And I can't remember who the pass rushers were at that time, Bob. I don't remember.
Well, that was when Thibodeau was allegedly going to fall to the Ravens.
Yeah.
And then the kid from Georgia, he was mocked, went to Philly with the next pick or the pick before, whatever it was.
Yeah, that was the defensive tackle from Philly, right? Who went 14 or whatever, who couldn't rush the passer. In the end, it worked out great.
Right, and that's all that matters. And the guy got paid. But again, you got to let the process take care of itself before you start losing your mind. Yeah, Jordan Davis went 13. Yeah.
That's why draft grades, you know, when people make these draft grades right after the draft, it's the biggest waste of time in the world.
Because Jermaine Johnson... Jermaine Johnson's still on the board.
Yeah.
Jermaine Johnson
went to the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
And then the Ravens took Linderbaum right before him. Mm-hmm. And then people were going crazy because they had just traded Hollywood. But we don't want to relive that sort of thing. It all worked out great for Kyle Hamilton. But Hamilton talks about getting the deal done before the season starts. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah, I wanted to get it done because I feel like it would have been a distraction. And, you know, it's just human nature to kind of think about those things, even though I try not to. And but no, I think the Ravens, and credit to them and everybody upstairs, they did a great job just engaging in conversation. And my agents as well, Kyle McCarthy, Brian Murphy, everybody at Athletes First did a wonderful job. And Charlie, that's like the third time he's butt into a meeting. But no, I mean, I was included in everything going on, and really professionally done on both sides. And they wrote some really good emails too. And it was really cool to see the ins and outs of contract negotiation. So.
Sounds like Kyle was heavily involved. And Bob, I still go back to the day, you know, supposedly Kyle tweaked his groin. And everybody's like, when did he do that? You know?
That was the one day I showed up.
Yeah, you're right. All right.
And Lamar didn't.
And then I'm watching him at practice, and he's sprinting up and down the sidelines. It was the day Bisciotti was there. And I see at the far end of the field where Hamilton was doing sprints, Bisciotti and Eric were both, they were all three standing there talking. And then he didn't practice again, you know, until, you know, because he didn't play in any games, you know, and like they said that he practiced, Bob, remember, in the walkthrough practice, which was nothing. And then the next day he was out there in a hoodie. And didn't practice when they were in pads when I was out there. And then he didn't practice anymore. And then deal gets done. Or it must have been close to being done because he practiced the one day. And then, boom.
But it's a moot point now.
Yep. So whatever it was.
Good to get him in there. It's news from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Now, as Kyle Hamilton's deal is finished, and a pretty lucrative one at that, Eric DaCosta was asked about Lamar Jackson's contract.
Probably not. You know, I appreciate the question, but I think it's good to keep these kind of things with the players and, you know, these business things as quiet as possible. And that'll continue to be the way we operate, generally speaking. I really wouldn't want to get into any specifics in regards to any of our players and their contract negotiations right now because I think it hurts the process.
There's no question. Once it gets in the media, then it never is good. And if we see, so to that point, Bob, if with the Ravens, with a Linderbaum or anybody that the Ravens would be doing a contract with, if it gets in the media, what does that tell us? It's not going well.
How about 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When it did get in the media.
Yes.
Then it got real contentious to the point where he demanded a trade.
Yep. And that's why, you know, with the Kyle one was quiet. And then, boom, Eric comes up. He says, oh, I got some news for you guys. Kyle Hamilton's done.
And awesome. Lamar Jackson will never talk about it.
No.
And this is just to pay him fair market value and also give you a little cap relief, too. I mean, it's not about Lamar's like making it, I demand this, that, and the other. It's an extension, Vinny, that obviously is going to benefit both sides.
No question about it. It'll benefit both sides, no question. Because what it does, you know, it creates room for the Ravens because his cap number is, what, 70-some million next year? And it'll pay Lamar what he's earned. Let's just say that. He's earned every penny that he's been paid thus far, he's earned that and then some.
Speaking of earning, Corey Bullock, former Terp, earned a spot on this 53-man roster. Here's EDC talking about Corey.
Well, he's worked very hard over the last couple of years. He had a great offseason. I think he's a really coachable player. He's worked so hard in the offseason program, getting his body, you know, stronger and just quicker and everything else. He's a sponge, and I think he's worked extremely hard, and he put himself in this position. And, you know, I think it speaks to the development that these guys receive in the offseason program, being here with our strength coaches. I think Scott Elliott and all of his staff, they do a remarkable job with our guys, really put these guys in the best possible shape to be their very best. And I think he's a great example of that.
I would totally agree 100% with that. Kudos to the strength coaches, and kudos to Corey, too, because, you know, it takes two to get that done, and he's got to put the time and the effort in, which, you know, he did. And And I mean, never noticed him last year or anything. I mean, you probably brought him up or checked because he was a Maryland dude. But when I saw him, you know, starting at center, then I started watching every play of him. And then I'd go out to practice and watch him. And his lower body strength and stuff is really good because he can sit there, he can put his foot in the ground and anchor, which credit to that kid, because we weren't, at least I was never talking about him. And all of a sudden he becomes the talk of camp. And right now, in my opinion, if a guard or a center gets hurt, Corey Bullock's in.
And to take it a step further with Bullock and my Maryland fandom, which is undeniable, when I'd ask you, project a 53, and you didn't say Corey Bullock, I didn't go, well, what about Corey Bullock?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, all of a sudden, where'd Mike Webster come from?
Yeah.
Out there at one winning drive. When we come back, we talk about Kyle Hamilton's money. Let's count ours, hopefully, a little buy or sell. Talk about sports subjects of this Total Request Thursday. We'll get to the win projections as set by The Athletic. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Ravens have a rookie kicker and a rookie punt returner. Any concerns there?
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Orioles taking on the Red Sox. Series finale, 105. Birds trying to avoid the sweep. We'll keep you up to date on the score once that thing gets rolling. Crochet against Cade Povich. Rocking and rolling there. Ravens getting ready for the Bills. Really start to ramp it up next week when they get back to one winning drive. Terps open against FAU. Ton of college football coming up tonight. We got college football picks coming up later in the show. We just talked about Kyle Hamilton's money. But however, can I count some down here?
What's yeah, you can count a little bit today. The Dow's up 18. The S&P's up 8. NASDAQ's up 80. DraftKings up 23 cents to 48.03. Under Armour's down 11 cents, $4.93.
They have not been over $8 in a while, right?
Eight. Yeah, they've been.
Because I'm thinking about maybe diving in a little bit more than I already am. That's why I'm keep relying on scratch-offs.
Buy low.
Buy they're low. When are they ever going to get high again is the question.
I don't know if they are, Bob.
Anywho.
Sports topics.
Yes.
Starting the NFL, the Ravens. We know they got that deal done with Kyle Hamilton. Everyone's celebrating that today. Now their attention turns to others that are in line for extensions, mainly Tyler Linderbaum. Now Eric DaCosta did tease that some more deals could be coming down the pipeline here soon. And since they didn't give Linderbaum the fifth-year option, they have even more incentive to work quickly. There is also the Lamar factor, as we just discussed in the last segment. Extending him would unlock more cap space in the immediate future. Buy or sell, Vinny, DaCosta will double dip and get another deal done before week one.
I'll buy it, but I don't think it's going to be Linder. I think it'll be Travis Jones or Likely. I think he gets another one done, but I don't think it's one of those other guys.
All right, we'll go over to baseball here. Tall task for the Orioles to avoid the sweep this afternoon since they're going to be facing Cy Young candidate Garrett Crochet. The last time they faced him back in early April, well, he was dominant to say the least. 8 shutout innings. Honestly, I'm surprised looking back on that stat line that he gave up 4 hits. That seems like a lot. 4 hits and a walk, as a matter of fact. But that was part of a long stretch there early on this season where the O's couldn't get anything going against left-handed pitching. And as far as lefties go, Crochet is as elite as they come. Buy or sell, Bob, the Orioles will not be shut out by Crochet today. At least one run.
Oh, boy. I'll buy it. Somebody might run into a breaking ball or something like that, or he'll walk the bases loaded. I don't know. Yeah, I'll buy that they'll at least score a run. I mean, man. Can I even predict someone's going to take him deep?
You can predict whatever you want.
I'm going to go with Mountie. He's going to hit a home run tonight.
Well, I set the bar that low because I'm going to sell that. I think that they will get shut out by Crochet again today.
Oh, damn.
I mean, he might only go six innings.
Oh, you're saying just him?
Yeah, just him.
Oh. I'm still.
All right.
The Orioles are going to
stick with your team.
They're going to scratch. And it's not just jock itch. They're going to get a run.
Go back to the NFL here. Texans. Well, they don't know what to expect with Joe Mixon right now. He missed most of the summer with an ankle injury and has since been placed on short-term IR, which means he will miss at least the first 4 weeks of the regular season, which means Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, well, they're now the guys that are in line to carry that ball. Neither one of them very attractive in terms of a starting option right now. But buy or sell, Vinny, Houston can get by with a more pass-happy offense, at least to begin the year.
I'm going to sell it just because I'm not totally convinced on the offensive line. That's the issue. I'm hoping that Chubb, you know, has some stuff left. That's what I hope.
And who is on the Texans schedule for week five? It's the Baltimore Ravens. So keep an eye on that. Joe Mixon could be making his season debut that week. A little college football here. Big game to kick off week one of the college football season. Texas and Ohio State. Arch Manning, he's the guy for the Longhorns. And while he did get a taste of action last year as a freshman, this is going to be his first real run as the starter. The three games where he got serious run filling in for Ewers last year, he was able to sling it around quite a bit. Yardage totals in some of those games, 223, 258, 325. I'm seeing his passing yard over-under set at 234.5 for this Saturday against the Buckeyes. Buy or sell, Bob, Manning goes over his total in his first start of the year.
I'm buying it. We'll do our picks for this game coming up in about an hour. But I'm liking Arch. You got two Heisman hopefuls there. Smith, wide receiver for Ohio State. And then Arch himself, number one versus number two, Sarkisian versus Day. I mean, what kind of – I mean, you got Lee Corso's going to be there, right, game day, his final. I mean, it's all – both teams are going to be in the playoffs, I'm thinking, when it's all said and done. But
should be.
Early supremacy. Let's go with Arch.
One more time.
I think if he gets it – if he gets the passing yards, Bob, they're behind, and then he's throwing a lot to catch up.
Or they're not going guns a-blazing right out of the gate. Take this, Ohio State.
I think they're going to try to
get them on their heels with their freshman quarterback and all that, whatever they got going on. What's the kid's name? The Ohio kid?
Just saying.
Bowl games are going to be here before I get all these rosters down.
He started at What's a Matter of You, then he transferred to seven other places. It's all good.
All right, one more topic in the NFL. The Saints, well, they didn't really have any good options for starting quarterback, but ultimately landed on Spencer Rattler over Tyler Shuck. Head coach Kellen Moore added that he doesn't want this to be a lingering weekly conversation. Rattler is the guy. This won't be a week-to-week reevaluation, but something tells me that's not going to hold up for all 17 games. Just last year, Rattler got the chance to start six games, lost all six, while posting a passer rating of 70. Buy or sell, Vinny, Rattler won't make it 6 weeks this time around before the QB controversy starts.
Oh, I'll buy that. I'll buy it, just because they're going to stink, you know? And I think they know they're in for the long haul. And like you said, Rattler was 0-6 last year. They'll be clamoring for the young guy, and then he'll go in, and then he'll screw it up, and then they'll be saying, you know, they'll be wanting to wear. Bob, were you in New Orleans when they were wearing the paper bags?
No, that was way before
the eights.
My time.
Oh yeah,
that was 1980.
Well, no,
I was there when they were the cha-ching till the playoffs. Then they were a cha-choke.
Yeah,
my dad was there.
They'd be 14-2.
Who dat going to beat the Saints? Anyone they play in the playoffs? Well, Bobby Hebert, baby.
Before we break here, continue our giveaways. Four more passes to the Maryland State Fair. It's running through September 7th, so you got a couple weeks here to get on out there. And we're going to send you for free. That is if you're caller number 10, 410-583-1057. Still four more to give away tomorrow, so stay tuned if you don't win today.
Well, we come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Get to these win totals that the Austin Mock for the AFC. We'll do the NFC later in the show if we have time to do so. But agree or disagree, what do you think of the Ravens' win total? I mean, nobody over 12 And somebody in the NFL, some team's going to win 12, might be multiple teams, but odds makers always shoot low. That's why you might want to bet high the weekend of September 7th. You got that Friday game, too, with the Chargers taking on the Chiefs. So we're here, everybody, ready to rock and roll. All right, Nolan, get in on this exercise. The Athletic, Austin Mock, maybe appropriately named. You know, you mock draft, mock this, record projections. For the AFC, and agree or disagree, Buffalo Bills, last year lost in the AFC Championship game to the Kansas City Chiefs. They won 13 games last year, 13-4. 11.2. So we're going to round it out to 11. How's that sound?
Okay.
Agree or disagree, over under should be 11, and then bet the over or under. They go over or under. Agree or disagree?
I'm going to say I would go the over, Bob, just because their division is not very good. You know, I mean, you look at, Bob, they after the Ravens, they go to the Jets, play the Dolphins, play the Saints, and then the Patriots, then the Falcons, then the Panthers. I mean, come on, you know.
Nolan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going way over, and I'm curious to hear what some of these other totals are set at. Like, how high does it really go? Because if I'm trying to pick a team where I would be setting the highest over-under, it might be Buffalo, just for the reasons Vinny just listed. Advantageous schedule out the gate, pretty weak division. I mean, sure, you know, people are pretty high on, like, a Philadelphia roster, but stiffer competition there, I would think, or maybe a tougher schedule as defending champs.
I'm with you. By the way, we'll get to the NFC later, because I can only look at one page at a time. You know, I'm just kind of losing brain power here, but I'm way over. I've seen 14-3 sort of stuff, possibly number one seed in the AFC. Ravens 11.
I'm going over. I mean, I picked them 13-4 way back when, you know, so I see. I'd be disappointed if they didn't get 13 or more.
I'm kind of 11 on the dot. Like, I'm one of those guys, every year the schedule comes out for the Ravens. It doesn't matter the year. It doesn't matter how good or bad they're supposed to be. I always come out somewhere in that 10-11 win range. I can't shake it. I can't. But I am going to say over here because it's hard for me to argue under with how stacked this roster is. But I do feel like it could end up 11 on the dot.
They were 12-5 last year, but at one point were 8-5. They won their last four games to get to that 12 wins. Just don't lose to Cleveland. I'm going over.
Well, we just got done talking about how easy Buffalo has it to start. I mean, would anybody be shocked if the Ravens got off to a not-so-fast start? Not because of...
I'd be totally shocked.
Well, not necessarily because of them screwing up, but the competition is pretty, it's very good.
What, five of their first six games, playoff teams last year? That's what I'm saying. Don't lose to Cleveland.
Exactly. You got to hit your layups, as they say. Yeah. But, you know, what if they suffer a similar fate as the Bengals last year? Not necessarily that their defense craps the bed, but you lose to the Chiefs in a shootout. You lose to the Bills in a game that comes down to overtime at the wire. I mean, it doesn't mean that the Ravens are playing bad. These are just good teams.
I just think that the Ravens come out of the gate fast, and the defense is 1,000 times better than it was at the beginning of the season last year. I just don't see – there's no excuse for them to come out fast, especially the teams that didn't play their people in the preseason. The Ravens should come out faster than anybody because it's the same team, same coaches, same everything. And, you know, what we keep hearing about, and I saw – when you practice against the Ravens offense, against the Ravens defense every day, that's good competition. Well, that's great competition every day.
So if they're 11-6, that's 17, right?
Yeah.
11-6, they're certainly not going to be the number one seed.
No.
The only way, Bob, I see if they go 11-6, that means Lamar missed a couple games. You know, I mean, I don't... Or all of a sudden they're turning the ball over left and right.
They're playing closer games than they should be playing. The Chiefs, 15-2 last year. That's not happening.
No way.
Austin Mock has a 10 Clipper win total for KC.
Yeah, 10. I kind of feel like 10 is about right, you know, for them. Because the division's tougher, you know, especially coaching-wise, it's going to be tougher. It's not going to be as easy. And what they win, nine games by one score or less?
Oh, they were skin of the teeth last year.
So I think, Bob, I'm going to go less.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think that it'll catch up to them a little bit this year.
I'm going over. I mean, there's a reason they won a lot of those close games.
Yep.
You know, we can call conspiracy or we can, you know, prop up Pat Mahomes and how clutch he is. I think it's a combination of the both. You know, they got some fortunate bounces. They got things that went their way or things that the opponent did that just flat out didn't make sense. I mean, missed field goals by their opponents that could have been a winner. Stuff like
foots
that.
Foots out of bounds.
Yeah. So the horseshoe will still be there, the lucky horseshoe.
Yeah, I'm going over. I think Patrick Mahomes has another MVP season or two in him before his story is written. Travis Kelce, he's going to try to ride out into the sunset with a monster year. He's in great shape. So I'll take the over. For point of reference, Nate Davis, who we had on a couple of days ago, he's got Buffalo 13-4 over. Ravens 14-3, way over. And KC 11-6, though. So he's not buying them being this powerhouse team. Cincinnati, the Bengals, who won nine games last year, 10.
I'm going to. Do I have to go over or under? Can I stay at. Can I say 10?
Whatever you want to do.
I'll say 10 kind of fits. I just think that they're going to outscore people. And. The defense, does it get better? Well, the key for them is, can the defense get better as the season goes along? I think the defense is going to start out crappy, you know, and can they improve? If they improve, they can get over 10, but I'm going 10-7.
I think that's the most fair of the lines we've heard so far, the most accurate in my opinion. I am going to say over, but it's not going to be way over. I mean, if they're going over, it's by no more than a game. I don't see them winning more than 11 games this year.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think 10-7... That should probably be tattooed on Zach Taylor's forehead. Nate's got him going 9-8, by the way, Nate Davis. And last one before we get to the break, the Denver Broncos. They appear to be the trendy team possibly to make a run at KC. 9.2, so we'll call that a strong niner here.
Yeah, and I'm going to go over saying they're going to get 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I
really
mean,
good
so
defense.
Tough.
I think Nick's. Second year, I think he'll be better.
Is Dobbins going to be the dude running that football?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm looking at a tough finish here. Like this last stretch run through mid-November into December. Chiefs, Commanders. All right, Raiders is a pushover, but then Packers.
I don't know about pushover. I think the Raiders will get better as the season goes along.
Supports my point. Jaguars a pushover. We can say that. And then you close the year, Chiefs, Chargers. I mean, a lot of division there. Packers, Commanders, tough from the NFC. I don't know. Give me under. I got to pick an under.
I'm going over. Championship coach, Sean Payton. Yeah. They got that taste of the postseason. Bo Nix exceeded expectations last year, let's be honest.
Great defense.
I think Denver's a team on the rise, not a one-year flash in the pan. Nate's got them going at 12-5 and winning the West. A little Orange Crush going on there with Nate Davis. We'll come back, get your thoughts. 410-583-1057 is the number. Ravens, 11. That's the win total by the Athletic. I think it's low. If they're 11-6, are we calling that a bad season? And then we're looking for reasons why they, air quotes, only won 11 games.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.